Cause I just wanna catch the wind. Well, I just wanna catch the wind. So I'm setting my sails, setting my sails. Well, I just wanna catch the wind. Well, I just wanna catch the wind.
When I was doing my doctoral work out at Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California, my advisor was Dr. Ray Anderson. He's a brilliant man who had a tremendous heart for the Lord. Some of his writing on the theology of ministry really shaped my understanding of how to serve the Lord. And to be quite honest, some of his writing is so brilliant and dense, it would take me quite a bit of time to read even a page. He was a special man, and I was grateful to have him as my advisor. He had a great impact on me. He wrote a book that's been out of print for some time, but I believe it's one of the most important books that I've ever read on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is called Ministry on the Fire Line. It's his look at how important it is that we as God's children understand the place of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and that we're willing to open ourselves up to continually grow, to have a new experience of and a new understanding of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In this book, at the very beginning, he tells what he calls a parable of firemen. It actually comes from a true account. In Santa Barbara, there were great fires a number of years ago, and companies came from many different places to help combat these fires, something very common out in California. We experienced it ourselves when we were out there. And he tells the story that at one particular time, the fires were raging in the foothills, and there in this one community were fire trucks all lined up and waiting. They weren't moving out toward the fire. And he began to talk to one of the people that were there, one of the leaders, lieutenant, whatever he was, I don't remember. And he asked why they were there, and this lieutenant said, "We have not been given orders yet to move forward. We've been told to hold right here." And Ray Anderson apparently asked him, "Can you trust this? In light of these fires raging, what gives you the confidence that the person is making the right decision for you to stay here?" And Ray Anderson recounts that this leader, this fireman, said, "As long as those that are directing us have felt the flames and inhaled the smoke, I'm willing to trust them." He went on to comment that if they had not, he's not sure he would even trust them to wash the fire trucks. Ray Anderson then goes on to talk about the fact that the church has to be led by men and women who have felt the flames and inhaled the smoke of the Holy Spirit. I think that's an amazing image. We need to start to open ourselves up here in the church to a new normal. A new normal where we can become, as Charles Kraft once commented, naturally supernatural. That we move beyond any ignorance that we might have over the integration of the Holy Spirit into our lives, and we begin to be open. We begin to, while stand on the past, not be bound by the past, and that we're willing to experience new and fresh movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We were made for this. This is something that I think is so important for us as we consider this ministry that God has given us. One of my favorite authors, a man that's been gone for some time, Martin Lloyd-Jones, wrote a book called Joy Unspeakable. I'll say more about that the next time we're together. But he wrote this: this is no age to advocate restraint. The church today does not need to be restrained, but to be aroused, to be awakened, to be filled with a spirit of glory, for she is failing in the modern world. That sounds so similar to something that A.B. Simpson said well over 100 years ago, that if we leave out one part of the gospel, we compromise the whole. And the part that he was concerned that we were leaving out is the importance of being filled with the Spirit and moving in the Spirit in order that we can be men and women that move forward with the life of the kingdom. I think this is a very important part of what it means to be a Christian, a fresh and open understanding of the Spirit. We're not going to manipulate. We're not going to try to make things happen, but we position ourselves so that the Holy Spirit can begin to move so that things will happen in His presence and in His power. I want to read a quote that comes from Clark Pinnock. Clark Pinnock was a rather famous theologian. He wrote many books. One of my favorite books that he's written is called The Flame of Love, a Theology of the Holy Spirit. And even as I'm reading, I would wonder if you could ask the Holy Spirit to help you picture what it is that I'm reading here. Hear these words. Brothers and sisters, our risen Lord has triumphed over the powers of evil. He now reigns at God's right hand, having all authority on heaven and earth. King Jesus now wills to save and heal human beings in every dimension of their fallen condition, in their body, in their mind, and in their spirit. He then goes on to say, shall we not then exercise faith in the victorious power of Jesus to fight everything that enslaves and oppresses humankind? Shall we not take authority over all the power of the enemy? Shall we not determine to live our lives as those who expect miracles to come from the hand of God our Father, that we would together forsake the path of functional belief? And then this final comment that he made in his book, fellow Christians, Jesus Christ is now challenging us to help set aright the disorder and pain of a fallen creation by going forth in his authority and power. He sends us forth in the name of Jesus to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, to heal the sick, to cast out demons. Wow, that's amazing. Absolutely amazing. When we begin to say yes to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we are catapulted into a new normal where all of a sudden miracles can occur even in the midst of the mundane. I appreciate the fact that God, by his Spirit, is always wooing us to a deeper understanding of the role that the Holy Spirit plays as we begin to do God's bidding and begin to do God's work. Listen to these words from the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, Albert Benjamin Simpson, known as A.B. Simpson, when he said these words, oh, what a solemn spectacle it is to see the Son of God spending 30 years on earth without a single act of public ministry until he received the baptism of power from on high, when the Holy Spirit rested on him in the form of a dove. And then in a very short period of time, we see him moving with intense activity and almighty power. He's left us the same power which he possessed. He has bequeathed to the church the very Holy Ghost that lived and wrought in him. Let us accept this mighty gift of the Holy Spirit. Let us go forth to reproduce the life and ministry of Jesus, to perpetuate in our time the holy Christianity that can be brought by the power of the Blessed Comforter. And then Simpson said, this is the mighty gift of our ascended Lord. This is the supreme need of the church today. The need is that we would come to understand and appreciate more the ministry, the person, the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I hope that even as I'm talking about this in these few podcasts, that something in you begins to quicken and you find yourself saying, I want more. That's one thing our Father in heaven does not mind hearing from his children. This is not the story of Oliver Twist where more brings punishment. This is the story of the living God where more is the gift that God wants to give us whenever we open our hands and cry out. And there is nothing, I believe, that God likes to give more than a greater understanding and experience of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, in our time together, in the last two podcasts, we've talked some about what it means to be born again and how we are awakened in the life of the Spirit. We talked about how the Holy Spirit then wants to empower us to live out of who we really are in Christ. Today, I want to talk about how the Holy Spirit wants to move through us. Actually, what I want to talk about is the place of spiritual gifts. It's amazing, but God, through the Holy Spirit, has empowered the church, every Christian, with gifts that are given to the community of Christ to serve the kingdom of God. They're not something for us only where we hold them selfishly, but it's something that we are to use in order to go out and change this world in the name of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit gives us these gifts. I think it's interesting that in Revelations, the revelation of St. John in chapter 1, it talks about the fact that we have been called a kingdom of priests. Not a kingdom with priests, but a kingdom of priests, that we are all part of the priesthood of believers and that we are the body of Christ. And one of the ways that we are empowered to be the body of Christ is through spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible tells us Well, first, in the very first couple of verses, it says, don't be ignorant of spiritual things. But it then goes on to say that we're not lacking any gift. We have all that we need through the Holy Spirit to fulfill the specific purpose that God gives us in our own ministries, in our local church ministry. The question is, do we have an understanding of the gifts of the Spirit so that we're open to all the possibilities that the Holy Spirit wants to give us? I love this conversation about spiritual giftedness because spiritual gifts are these grace giftings that God gives to all of His children. If you right now are a person that has said yes to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you've said yes to Jesus in your life, then according to the Bible, you have spiritual gifts inside of you. You have one or more spiritual gifts that God has given in order that you can then serve the kingdom of God. I encourage you, go read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because it has all these wonderful scriptures about how God, through the Spirit, has given different gifts, all through the same Spirit, but they're manifested in our lives in different ways. Yet it's the same Lord who's over those gifts, and that we do this as a way of seeing God working through us. And I love verse 7 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. To each one of us has been given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the common good. There is no question about what the Bible has to say about spiritual gifts, that every person who has been born again, who has the Holy Spirit now residing inside, has been given spiritual gifts to be used for the building of the kingdom of God. Now, there's lists of scriptures that talk about spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4. They kind of give us gifts, a glimpse of gifting. We have some of what some people would call more power gifts, like words of knowledge and the spirit of wisdom and healing. But there's other gifts like intercessory prayer, the gift of administration, the gifts of mercy and generosity. You might want to look at those scriptures and read some of those gifts and get a feel within yourself as to where do you think God might be wanting you to move to develop the spiritual gifts that He has given you. I think it's also interesting that 1 Corinthians 12 is followed by 1 Corinthians 13, the story of love, and how love is, if you will, the river that caused the spiritual gifts to flow. That you can have a river without gifts, but you better not have gifts without the river of love, because they're not going anywhere if love isn't the way that we begin to operate. There's also some interesting teaching out of 1 Corinthians 14 that talks about how we operate spiritual gifts. All to say, the charismata, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, have been distributed by grace to every person that names the name of Jesus. And they're not given randomly. They're given specifically. And they're not given in a stingy way. They're given lavishly. Now, the question is, are we learning about our spiritual gifts and engaging them, or are we, to some degree, ignoring them? I've come to the place in my own life and in the teaching that I do with seminary students to contend that we should be spending the bulk of our ministry time within the areas of our spiritual gifts. And so God, if He has given you a gift of leadership, that should be the role you're playing in the life of the church. Teaching, the same way. If it's administration of mercy or intercessory prayer or healing or evangelism, whatever it might be, if God has laid a gift on you, then I believe that's what we are called to discover and develop and to use to the glory of our Lord. And one of the things about spiritual gifts is they begin to leak out even when we're not clear on what they are. And soon the other members of the body of Christ begin to sense what these spiritual gifts are. And that's when the body confirms that, yeah, I see this in you. Instead of us trying to do things that we're not gifted at, God wants us to begin to develop spiritual gifts so that we can move forward in the body effectively. And one of the key things that I like about the teachings on spiritual gift is that it's all about diversity. We're not carbon copies of one another. Our spiritual gifts match the uniqueness of who we are. God's given to them to be manifested through that uniqueness. What a gift of teaching may look like in my life isn't what it looks like in someone else's life. And that's part of what's exciting when we begin to think about this amazing way that God gifts us all. And so when I'm talking to people about gifts, I encourage them, go to Scripture. Start learning about them. Discover which ones are out there. Look at your feelings. When you can, experiment with some. If you feel really led in a particular area, ask the Holy Spirit to open up opportunities to pray or teach or lead or give, and then check your feelings, and then look at the fruit and see what it is that God has done. Look, there's some basic things that I think need to be affirmed here. Regardless of your tradition, you know, whether you come from a church that's more conservative or Pentecostal or charismatic, the issue of spiritual gifts is important to us. We need to believe that gifts are for today. I recognize that some think this ended, but the work of the kingdom hasn't ended. We're still progressing. We still need these gifts alive in the life of the church. These gifts are given by the Holy Spirit, and they're to direct the ministry of the church. If you're wondering today, well, what should I do? What role can I play? I would encourage you immediately to go to prayer, read some books, have some conversations about the ministry of the Holy Spirit through spiritual gifts. Look at those scriptures. And one of the things we see in 1 Timothy 4:14 and 2 Timothy 1:6 that we can be prayed for. And as we do, prayer kind of unleashes gifts in our lives. Now, one of the things that I've experienced in my own life that, well, I think it's true of most people, that we get more of a gift mix than a single gift, and that different gifts we have kind of match one another, and then we're able to grow in them. And then over time, there's kind of a rotation that sometimes what was less active in our lives becomes even more active in our lives. And all of a sudden, we see that God has made us in a very specific way to advance the purposes of the kingdom. I wonder what feelings are rising in you as you listen to this today. I hope it makes you hungry for more of the Holy Spirit and hungry to begin to open up to the idea that God's done something very special in you. Now remember, when we understand spiritual gifts, they're not a point of pride. Because a spiritual gift isn't a statement of how much God loves us as much as a statement of how much God loves others, because that's the way he wants to then minister through us to other people. I encourage you to experiment with gifts in a safe environment and then watch for the fruit. When you begin to see fruit in these areas of your life and the body confirms it, wow, you're onto something there. You're beginning to understand how important it is to move in the empowerment of the Spirit in the areas of spiritual gifts. I'm sure you've seen this happen. There are individuals that have great talent. Maybe they can play an instrument or sing or administrate, and they're good at it. But when there's a spiritual gift moving through it, it goes to a whole new level. I have heard people sing who are very, very talented, professionally trained, and it's pleasing. But when someone begins to minister in song through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, everything begins to change. I saw that today. We had great worship in our church. A friend of ours, Jody Tomei, was leading today, and there were a lot of other people up there that love the Lord. And while they may not have been highly trained over years and years of education in the area of music, they led us right into the glory of God, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that moved through them began to touch everybody in the church. And that's the nature of spiritual gifts. And so as we begin to think here a little bit about the idea of giftedness, let's link what we've already talked about. God is always doing something new. He's moving in new wineskins. And when he does, he calls people to awaken to the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit, to be, if you will, born again into the Spirit. And then he encourages us to say yes to the Holy Spirit's ministry to help us live out of who we are in Christ, sanctifying us, setting us apart. And then what he does is he empowers us in the area of spiritual gifts so that all of a sudden we're moving in a way that we never knew possible before. I want to tell you, my experience is there's nothing like moving in the area of spiritual gifting. It changes everything, our enthusiasm, our excitement, and so forth. Now, if you want to know more about this, I would encourage you to consider reading my book, Untamed Christian, Unleashed Church. It has a lot in it about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's available on Amazon. I think also I encourage you to go to Scripture, start reading the book of Acts, watch what happens there as the Holy Spirit begins to move on a people. And I believe you'll begin to see this wonderful ministry that the Holy Spirit gives us. And then we begin to experience what Jesus said, living water bubbling up within inside of us to go forward in the name of Jesus. Pray about these things. Check your feelings. Talk to your friends about it. See if God doesn't want to unleash something special in you. God bless you until we're together again.
Spirit, come blow through this place in your power and grace, oh Lord. As we sing your praise and as we seek your face, oh Lord.